This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, let's talk about two royal stories as we get things moving here. The first royal story is this. You know what? Let's start positive before I get negative. There's no reason to be negative. The Royals won their last game. They won their first series of the year. The weather is nice outside today. I'm hoping that people go out to the ballpark later today. I am in a good mood. So let's start positive. The biggest surprise, the biggest positive so far of the young baseball season is how good Chris Bubich has been. He has been phenomenal in his two starts, 12 and two-thirds. He has given up one earned run. He has eight strikeouts. He had eight strikeouts on Sunday, one walk. He has 16 strikeouts total in his two starts and only three walks. He has an ERA of 0.71. Chris Bubich has been magnificent so far. Now it's two starts, but, and I think most Royals fans agree with me here, you feel really good about Cole Reagans. You feel great about Seth Lugo. Michael Wacha there in the three spot is as good as you can possibly get for your third best pitcher. If you were telling me that you were able to round this thing out with Chris Bubich, where you feel like going into any series from top to bottom, you're good, that is a major, major advantage for this club. Now, let's knock on wood. Let's hope that he can stay healthy. Let's hope that he can continue to put everything together. And obviously, these numbers are not realistic, and you are not expecting him to do this over a duration of the season. But he has gone into the sixth inning in both of his two starts. He's not allowing base runners. He's not putting free base runners on, and he has a lot of swing and miss stuff. I think if we are going through the first 2 weeks, hey, what has been the brightest spot, Rob? What's the thing you are most optimistic about with this club? I think it's Chris Bubich, and I don't really think it's close in terms of what has excited you the most in watching them play for the first 2 weeks of the season.
It is very early returns, but you're right. And that has me really excited about the fact that J.J. Piccolo traded Brady Singer last offseason. Remember, when they traded Brady Singer, the thought was, are they getting enough back and their rotation was their strength? Are they going to be okay? Like, that was the thought amongst Royals fans after they traded Brady Singer. Hey, Indy is a good player, but we did get enough back for Brady Singer. He was really good last year, especially early in the season. He was a dominant bullpen piece in the playoffs. Like, are we going to be okay? That move looks like it's gangbusters for J.J. Piccolo and co. Because Jonathan Indy has been everything early going. They anticipated as a leadoff hitter. And the confidence they had in Bubich is why they traded Brady Singer. And Bubich is, in two early starts, showing you why. If he puts together two or three more starts in a row, similar to what he's done. He doesn't have to be as lights out, but similar. You might be having a conversation come Memorial Day about, hey, does he move up the rotation? Does it go Reagans, Lugo, Bubich ahead of Wacha? Do you have to maneuver because he's been so good to get him more opportunities in top? Like, The J.J. Bokolamuwa singer looks like it's paying off dividends to me because they knew they had this in Bubic, and he looks like that kind of guy.
All right, are you ready for the negative topic now? We got the positive topic out of the way. Chris Bubic, two thumbs up. You have been phenomenal so far this season. Let's talk about the flip side. We talked about this when you were gone, how every team kind of has that player that they're going to blame for things. For the Chiefs, for a while there, it was Daniel Sorensen. He might not even be on the field. They give up a pass completion. It was Daniel Sorensen's fault. The Royals have had a series of these guys. Chris Getz was one of these guys. Kyle Davies was one of these individuals. We were trying to figure out the name for this award. Jonathan Sanchez, just the guy who receives all of the blame from the fans. Now, I still think that that person is Hunter Renfro. Don't get me wrong. But I have maybe just come to the realization that at some point in the next month, we are going to have a very serious conversation about what they do with MJ Melendez. Like, don't we see how this is going? In week one for the Royals, MJ Melendez had 13 plate appearances. He got one hit. This past week, he had 17 plate appearances. Take a guess how many hits he got in those 17 plate appearances he had this week.
My guess is none.
One.
Close.
He had 20. He's had 24 plate appearances so far this season. Rob, he struck out in 8 of them. He goes up there a third of the time. He has struck out in his plate appearances. He's not a guy that takes a lot of walks, and he's not a guy that's going to hit and get you on base. We are a month away. And some of you already want to have this conversation about MJ Melendez. I don't think they're doing it 25 plate appearances in. And maybe you guys think I'm jumping the gun. Maybe you think I'm premature and we need to give him more time. I'm telling you that MJ Melendez, he is the Royals version of Sky Moore. He is the Royals version of Kadarius Toney. You knew. You wanted to hold out hope. You wanted to be optimistic, and I get it. You knew at some point, hey, man, they got to quit throwing it to Sky Moore. This is not working. We've seen now three full seasons of this with MJ Melendez, and it is starting in a very familiar place. Now, Vern came on the show last week when you were gone, Rob, and he talked about how he thinks that MJ is going to have a quicker leash than he's had, that the Royals are going to be quick to make a move or do something if things get a little off track. I think that conversation might be coming a little bit sooner than we anticipate. I really do. You can see how this thing is going, man. Like, it's staring us right in the face. They are a month away from asking themselves a very serious question when it comes to MJ Melendez, and the question is, what are we doing? Here's what Vern said last week when you were off, Rob.
New joint we heard last year.
What do you think happens? And I know we're early into the season, but let's say that we are 100 at-bats in and things have not turned around for Hunter Renfro and things have not turned around for MJ Melendez. What do you think happens?
You know, if the calendar, I guess that puts us in May. Yeah, if MJ's not hitting, he'll find himself in Omaha so long as there's a better option. All right? I mean, and don't tell me what they're doing right now in Omaha. I don't care that Drew Waters had a nice week in Omaha. He had a month and a half in Arizona to show us something, and he didn't do it. Nick Prado didn't do it. Joey Weimer didn't do it. Nelson Velasquez didn't do it. MJ Melendez did it. So he earned his spot on this team on April 4th. We get to May 4th, May 14th, and MJ's not producing offensively. This team isn't going to hesitate to send him to Omaha. Now, if you're expecting that to happen in early April, I have tough news for you. MJ belongs here in early April. Late May, certainly, he could find himself in Omaha. You know, Hunter Renfro, I think that might be more of a early June. You know, here's your X amount of million dollars. Best of luck somewhere else. But I don't think you'll see. In fact, I don't want to guarantee it, but from everyone that I've spoken with over the past few months, you're not going to see this organization drag its feet with what appears to be as blatantly obvious, like last year with Will Smith or a Chris Stratton. I, I don't think the leashes are as long for Chris Stratton, MJ Melendez, Hunter Renfrow, really anybody on this team. The leash isn't as long as it was a season ago, so long as there's a better option presenting itself in AA, AAA, whether that's Caglione or John Rave. If there's a better option, in my opinion, there will be no hesitation.
Text line 913-586-7965. CDOT, I agree with you, but who's next man up? At this point, maybe that's not the fair way of putting it. We are getting close to the point where it doesn't matter anymore with MJ Melendez. Now, I know it's early into the season. We're 24 ABs in. Over his last 475 plate appearances, 475, he's hitting 201. He has 121 strikeouts. He's hitting, or his on-base percentage is 262. He doesn't get on base. He strikes out. He doesn't drive in runs. He's not a consistent run producer for you. You can't continue to trot that out there every single day. We have seen 2 weeks of Royals baseball. So I agree with Vern. I don't think they're sending MJ Melendez down tomorrow. But if this continues to do what it is doing and what it has been doing now for almost 2.5 years, we are going to be having this conversation for real. Not for play. We're going to be having this conversation again coming up on May 7th. Once the NFL draft is over and we're done talking about what it means for the Chiefs and who they got, and we talk to their high school coach, and once we get done with all of that and we have nothing but Royals to keep us busy until June and July, the number one topic to me is going to be, what are we doing about MJ Melendez? They spent all offseason telling us that they fixed his swing. Well, it looks to me like it's as messed up as it's ever been before. He has 2 hits in his first 24 plate appearances, and he does not, to me, appear to be close to figuring this thing out. We can keep talking Royals coming up on the other side, 913-586-7965. We'll also get you ready for tonight's national championship game between Florida and Houston. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
On 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got...
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Got this.
Text line 913-586-7965. CDOT, why don't you guys talk more about Hunter Renfrow? Oh, trust me. He's number one on my list. We did this segment on Friday. Hunter Renfrow, if this was how we do our circle of trust, if this was Big Brother or this was Survivor and we could vote somebody off the island, Hunter Renfrow would be number one voted off the list. Number one, off the list, gone. And I think if the Royals are really serious about making the playoffs, if this thing continues to go the way that it is going with Hunter Renfrow, eventually they're going to have to make a decision about him too. We were talking about this earlier today when we were getting ready from the show. Speck is ready to change their entire outfield. He is ready to put Jonathan India in left, Mikel Garcia in center, and have them figure it out in right field. He doesn't even think that their opening day outfield is the best outfield that they possibly can have. And given what we've seen from them so far offensively, I can't tell you that he's wrong. Now, I'm not telling you let's overreact and let's send everybody down now. That's not my point. But with MJ, it's not like we're having a one-year conversation and he's off to a slow start. He had to know, basically in a work sense, he was on probation. Hey, you weren't doing a good job selling things, so we're going to give you some more time to do it. But you need to know that you are on a tight leash. And if you don't turn this thing around pretty quickly, we're going to have to do something else. Now, I'm willing to salvage MJ. He's 26 years old. I'm not completely ready to throw MJ Melendez away. And I'm open to doing for MJ Melendez what they did for Alex Gordon, what they did for Mike Moustakas. You go down to the minors. He still has one option left. I don't know where this MJ has no options. No, he still has options left. You send him down and you continue to work with them and try to turn this thing around. So I'm all for doing that if you're the Kansas City Royals and trying to see if you can figure it out. I'm not sure if they're going to be able to figure it out with Hunter Renfrow. They're 2 years into this deal, so this is the last season of Hunter Renfrow, and at this point, he's not a plus defender for you. He doesn't get on base. He doesn't hit for average. He doesn't drive in runs. He doesn't get on base. What are we doing? He doesn't walk. What is it that you do here would be my question to Hunter Renfrow. So trust me, I know the topic at a given time might be about MJ. Trust me, I'm also thinking of Hunter Renfrow too. If we had to make what are the Royals' biggest problems right now, they're near the top of the list. No question. You guys want to talk about Angel Zerpa and Sam Long. I don't really have much of an issue with them. I mean, it could be better, but we're talking about guys who are, what, fourth, fifth in your bullpen? I'm not. Why are we arguing about that? These are your opening day starters in your outfield, and you don't trust them to hit their weight and get on base, and at least your right fielder, he is a below-average defensive player. That seems to be a problem to me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. We are talking about MJ because MJ is a guy who the Royals had a lot of expectations for. There was once a time where it was MJ, Bobby, and Vinny. Those are the three that are going to come up. Two-thirds have hit. One's a super hit. There's also MJ Melendez. But with MJ, you can kind of reset like Mike Moustakas and Alex Gordon had happened. We talked about that with Denny earlier in the show. Hunter Renfrow, I think, is going to get DFA'd one day by this organization. Like, in the not-so-distant future. It might be Memorial Day weekend. It might be the first weekend of June. It might be whenever. But I don't think Hunter Renfrow is part of this organization come July. So I think we talk about MJ Melendez more, but because he has options and because of his age, I think you're willing to let him kind of maybe go down and figure it out. But Hunter Renfrow, if they can't figure it out with him, it's DFA time. But once you DFA him, there is no, hey, we salvage something and bring it back up. It's done. So I think they want a larger sample of your AAA guys before they eject on Hunter Renfrow.
Text line 913-586-7965. CDOT, I think we just need to collectively take a deep breath and relax. They know what we know. I think that you guys are underestimating your voice in these things. And I tell you this all the time. Sometimes they have to hand you guys somebody. Sometimes when things are going poorly and you guys make enough noise, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. I'm not saying that you guys make all of their personnel decisions. Trust me, they factor in what you guys think. Eventually, I think the noise will get too loud about one of these two individuals, and eventually they're going to have to make a choice for you. Now, maybe they sacrifice Hunter Renfrow first. I mean, all it takes is just you writing a check to make him go away. You mentioned DFA. Rob, I'm not sure if Hunter Renfrow plays too much more Major League Baseball after he leaves the Royals. Like, he's 33 years old. What's his role? Are you adding him to a playoff team? If you're the Yankees, are you adding Hunter Renfrow to your team? If you're the Giants and you're trying to make a postseason run, like, I'm not really too sure how much professional baseball Hunter Renfrow has left if he gets DFA'd from the Royals. That's not the case about MJ Melendez. He's 26 years old. He's shown you he can hit for some power. He's shown you that he can play multiple positions. MJ's got choices. I don't know if Hunter Renfrow has much choices. The Royals took a chance on a 2-year deal, and they gave him a lot of control. They gave him a player option for the second year. Of course he was going to take the player option and not try free agency again. But if the Royals make a decision on Hunter Renfrow, I'm not really sure what his next move is.
I mean, the only team, and I'm not going to name a specific team, but man, you follow Kansas City baseball your whole life the way I have. There have been a lot of teams where you just, a bad Royals team picks up a guy like Hunter Renfrow just to fill out the roster, and if he gets DFA'd, he's free. So maybe Hunter Renfrow's a White Sox one day. Maybe he's hanging out in the outfield with Mike Trout as an Angel because those teams that are terrible just need...
I don't even know if that's in the league. Is that in the league?
They can be on the DL together. It'd be great at it. It'd be great at being hurt at the same time. Like, I think a bad team would kick the tires on it, but you're right. Like, I think Hunter Renfrow's time as like a consistent major leaguer is basically ending. I also don't think it was a bad deal by the Royals. Like, I know the player option looks stupid now, but if he's great, he's leaving and you are restarting. If he's bad, you're hoping to salvage it and you're cutting anyway. You end up with the same result.
I don't think it's a bad deal either. And this is, I think, some of the economics of baseball. I think most teams just get out of it last year and just pay you to go away. You could have just paid him to go away, essentially. You chose not to. You brought him back for this upcoming season. Now, the question to me on Hunter Renfrow is, let's say if we are having this conversation in 30 days and 45 days, are you willing to cut ties? And most of the teams that we talk about that think they can win their division, they wouldn't be starting him every day. And once we get closer to Memorial Day, they'd be moving on from Hunter Renfrow. So it's early. It's the first 2 weeks. You got an important stretch coming up, but this stretch is really important. I don't want to sell it like it's must win. It's early April, but you play, you have 10 games of teams in your division over the next 2 weeks. And the teams that you don't play, oh yeah, it's the Yankees. So you play the best team in the American League. You play a wild card team in Detroit. You play 4 games against another team in your division, the Minnesota Twins. And oh yeah, you go on the road this weekend to play the Cleveland Guardians, a team that has already beat you in a series and a team that won your division. This is an important stretch for the Royals. You cannot make the postseason in April. You can lose the playoffs in April. And if you are a Royals fan, you know what I'm saying is true. You have seen the Royals dig themselves in a hole that they have been unable to climb themselves out of. You have looked at a team that's hovering around 500. Next thing you know, you blink. They go 2-7 in a stretch, and now they're 7 games out of first place, and you are just constantly chasing and playing behind the eight ball for the remainder of the season. I don't want that to happen to this Royals team. I don't think their pitching will allow them to get to that point. But if the one thing I think we can agree on as the Royals is they have to find more consistency offensively. And I think that's really hard to do if you're playing MJ Melendez and Hunter Renfrow and Kyle Isbell every single day. I think it's hard to find that consistency on offense.
I mean, as much as like when Speck said it back in the office today about how he wants to just reshuffle the deck in the outfield, Jonathan India every day, Mikel Garcia in center field every day, my first thought was, okay, the Royals played what, 12 games? Like, might be a little early. I don't think Speck's totally wrong, because what the Royals need to do at worst in this stretch is tread water. Obviously, you'd like them to win a series against the Guardians this weekend. Maybe win a 4-game series against the Twins, who came out the gate slow as well. Maybe just, you know, take care of some business against the Tigers when you play them next week. Like, you'd love to win those series, especially against the division. But if you're a Royals fan, the worst case scenario these next 2 weeks is tread water. If they play 14 games and they go 7-7, I will not be complaining about the Royals over that 14 game stretch. Just survive in advance. But you're right, with the outfield hitting nothing in left, nothing in center, nothing in right, and defensively they're bad in right, it's hard to tread water. It's hard to go 6-8, 7-7, 8-6 over a stretch when every given night, if you don't get great Bobby, great Salvi, great Vinny, you kind of find yourself behind the eight ball. But that schedule to me screams one thing: just tread water. If they walk away, you're like, man, it didn't go great, but they treaded water, you still feel like this team can be a playoff team in 2025.
Let's move on from the Royals after this, and we'll talk some college basketball coming up later tonight. We have the national championship game. Maybe you guys missed it earlier today. There was some audio. Vern and a caller had a little bit of a tussle. I just like hearing Vern argue with people. I don't know. I just enjoy it.
All right, let's head out to KCK and talk with Steven.
Hey, Vern, happy baseball season. But we've got guys that just sort of look around and wait for the big fellows to do something.
Who are you talking about?
Saying, well,
who are you talking about?
Just have to sort of lay around. I mean, this was happened in the playoff with guys looking, well, we got to let Salvi do something.
Who are you talking about, Steven? Who are you talking about? Put a name to it.
We don't need to let the big guys do something. You need to do something yourself to provide the difference to win this game. We have guys out there who are putting us in a hole in the first place.
Who are you talking about? And what does it have to do with the game? Give me some examples. Don't just speak in these generalities.
Your entire monologue before this game, we have guys that are just absolutely locked into this thing, standing around, looking at other guys, saying, well, he's going to save us. No,
who are you talking about?
No, you're not going to save us. You need to save yourself. MJ.
I mean, you're saying MJ's standing around waiting for someone else to do something.
We need to nip this in the bud. We need to nip
what in the bud?
We need to totally nip this in the bud. We shouldn't have to have Salvi save us. We shouldn't have to have Pasquantino save us. We should start saving ourselves or get guys in here that will do it. I'm not gonna stand by and watch us lose all the way through April and May anymore.
Steven, get out of here. God, I wish you wouldn't come back. I don't understand why you follow this team.
Yo, you know how mad you gotta be as the post-game host for the Royals to just tell a caller, hey man, you know what I would like for you to do? Never call again. Why are y'all doing this to Vern? They've been playing for 2 weeks. You got Vern stressing. You got Vern ready to pull his hair out. It's 2 weeks of baseball.
I do love that. Nip, what in the bud?
He was frustrated.
He was getting those takes off whether Vern was going to respond or not.
Go away! I wouldn't tell y'all to go away. I wouldn't tell y'all to do that. I'm not going to say I don't think it. I wouldn't tell you guys to go away. I'm pretty cool when it comes to that. Honestly, you know what? Why I wouldn't have told you to go away is Vern gave you more time on the phone than I would have gave you. I just would have hung up and moved on with my life. I got enough stress going on. I'm going to let you stress me out about the Royals? No. No chance. No. Not interested. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. No.
That's true. When that one caller called in after the Super Bowl and they were like, they should have Tom Brady as a backup.
Just, yeah, thanks.
They got dropped fast.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Good call.
I'm going to move on. You're going to move on and we'll both be better for it.
Although, to be fair, you let the guy who said the cartel cost the Chiefs the Bengals game cook for a while.
Maybe he needed to cook for a little bit. Sometimes you got to let him cook. That guy wasn't cooking, though. He wasn't cooking. I'm going to tell you that right now. Steven, in fact, was not cooking. Now, I know that you guys are not going to give me any credit. Now, I don't know why you guys do this, and I would say it's not fair. When I get things wrong, you guys will not let me hear the end of it. You guys will bring up takes from 3-4 years ago. You remember that time you said, no, I don't remember that. Why would I remember a take that I had on June 4th? No, I don't remember that opinion. I don't at all remember this. How do you remember this? You be taking notes and studying. I haven't gotten credit or no one has mentioned the fact that I predicted the national championship. Rob, were you here? Who did I say was going to the national championship in college basketball this year?
You've been adamant that it's Houston and Florida.
Who do I have winning the national championship?
You got Houston over Florida tonight.
What else did I tell you about Duke? I told you to watch out for Duke. What did I tell you? No one can tell you about being in a fight. You eventually have to be in one. Nobody can tell you about a roller coaster. You have to get on the roller coaster. And I saw this Houston team go into Allen Fieldhouse in one of the craziest endings to a regular season basketball game that I can remember and steal one. I saw them go up against Texas Tech and Arizona and Iowa State, and I saw them deal with that competition. You think they're worried about a Konka nipple? You think they're worried about Sion James? No. You know what Houston did? They just kept chopping wood, kept chipping away, kept playing defense. They kept themselves hanging just around. It takes three things for a miraculous comeback to happen. It takes you being poised and you knocking down a couple of shots. It takes mistakes from the opposition. It takes a hint of luck. And if you can get those three things to come together, you could do something miraculous. They were down 14 with 8 minutes to go. They were down 6 with 30 seconds to go. And Duke had the basketball. Houston has been in a fight before. Duke hadn't. And eventually, in the end, I tell you guys the quote from Bill Cowher, your weaknesses will find you in the postseason. If you can't shoot free throws, well, guess what? You're going to have to knock down some free throws to advance. You can't stop the run? Well, guess what? You're going to have to go up against a team that wants to run the football. You got to overcome your fears in the postseason. The fear for Duke was simple. Inexperience from the players. You had a lot of freshmen and inexperience in a fight. You hadn't been in many fights. And the fights that you had been in this season, if you were Duke, you had the game early in the season against Kentucky. Cooper Flagg made a mistake. You had the game against KU. What happened in that game late, Rob? Cooper Flagg turned the ball over. You had a chance to win this one. Your best player gets a shot. That's what you want. He missed. It wasn't just Cooper Flagg. I'm not blaming him for the loss. Cooper Flagg's the only player on their team that made a basket in the final 13 minutes of the game. Think about that. Duke, with All-Americans, future pros, Sion James made a layup with 13:05 left in the game. Another player other than Cooper Flagg did not make a shot. No Knipple, no Proctor, no James, nobody. You're not staying fed off free throws down the stretch. You got to go make shots. You got to go get a bucket. They didn't.
I mean, that loss on Saturday is inexcusable. Like, I'm not saying someone has to get fired, but, like, how does that happen? They're up six with 30 seconds to go, and they have Cooper Flagg. They then can't get the ball inbounded. In the blink of an eye, the game's tied. Cooper Flagg commits what I don't think was a foul, but was a game-defining foul. Like, that, it was an absolutely unacceptable loss from everyone at Duke. And you know what? I agree with Kelvin Sampson. In postgame, he said, what, we're 34-4, and it's not against some toy poodle league. Like, it's the Big 12. That's who Duke played against this year, a toy poodle league. They got to take on Pitt. Super. You know who would beat Pitt? K-State. And K-State wasn't even that good this
year.
Why
you got to just throw K-State in there? What did K-State do?
K-State was, what, the 11th seed in the Big 12 tournament?
There was no reason to fire a couple shots at K-State. They didn't do nothing.
Colorado would have given Syracuse buckets.
That's probably true. They probably would have. I'm picking Houston today. I pick Houston to win the national championship at the very beginning of the NCAA tournament. I'm picking them today. Now, it does hurt me, I will admit. It does hurt me to pick against Walter Clayton Jr. He has been incredible. He really has. He's been the best player in the tournament. He's been the best player in this tournament. Did you see that little sidestep three move that he did on Saturday against Auburn? That is an elite, high-level shot. That's all he's done in this tournament. Knock down threes, finish at the rim, lead his team, get the most. He has been incredible to watch in this tournament. I got to pick against him today. I got to stick with my OG original pick. But I don't get any credit. I'm looking at the text line right now. No credit. It's okay. I'll keep doing my best for you guys every day. While Rob is out gallivanting around, riding trolleys, not here, I'll be here giving accurate sports takes and predictions. That's why you come here.
Who'd you have in Duke's region making the Final Four?
I picked Wisconsin. I got the other three Final Four teams right. Do I get credit for that? I got the other three right.
Oh, the 3-1 seeds. Yeah, I did
pick those three. Yeah, I did. I did get three of the four, and I got the national championship game right. So I think I deserve a little bit of credit. I deserve a little bit, not a lot of bit. I do deserve a little bit for my take and my opinion on this thing. Coming up on the other side, today is actually a really cool anniversary that we'll highlight coming up. We'll also get back to the Royals coming up at the top of the hour. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Hey, it's Lucas Ersig from the Kansas City Royals. You're listening to The Drive with CDOT on 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
We won't spend too much time on this, but sometimes this job will make you think that you are far more important than what you are. And it happens at all levels. I'm sure it's happened with me. It's happened with a lot of people that I know. Sometimes you get lost in your own sauce, so to speak. I don't know why Stephen A. Smith has this infatuation with running for president, but today he did another interview about it, Rob, and he says, quote, I have decided that I am no longer going to close that door. I'm going to keep my options open, and I'm going to entertain the possibility. I don't know whose fault this is, but I want them to stop it. There was another poll I saw against some politicians, and Stephen A. Smith actually scored pretty favorably. There's no scenario I would vote for Stephen A. Smith to run for the president. There's no scenario. I like Stephen A. Smith. I really do. One of the worst things that we've done in media is you're really good at one thing. He's really good at talking about the NBA and really good at talking about the Cowboys. We then make you think that you can do anything. No. You spend your time debating Dan Orlovsky and Shannon Sharp. I don't want to see you get in the ring with... Who told you this was a good idea, Steven? You got an amazing job. You get paid $20 million a year to talk for 2 hours on television. You got a great job. I don't want you to run for president. Whose idea was this? This is not a good idea. Please stop this. I don't know who needs to tell them this. Maybe he can get this. Please stop this. We don't want it. Return to sender. Focus on your main job. It's paying you very well. You've got a great life, I would imagine. A really good life if you're Stephen A. Smith. I don't know who told you that running for president was a really good idea. All right, let's move on from that. I had to say that. It was on my heart. I don't know who told him this was a good idea. Rob, you voting for Stephen A. Smith?
No, but did you see that he got an argument with his NHL pundit today about LeBron?
I did see that.
That's who wants that content? Who is signing up to see P.K. Subban and Stephen A. Smith argue LeBron James on April 7th?
I don't know.
Who asked for this?
I wasn't a part of that decision. I wasn't a part of it.
There's a lot of things ESPN does.
Number one,
me.
I don't know why Stephen A. Smith and Shannon Sharp are talking about hockey. And I don't know why P.K. Subban, who just 2 months ago told us he doesn't watch the NBA, I don't know why those three people are debating hockey and basketball. I don't know why they're doing that. I did not participate in that conversation. I did not listen to that conversation. I'd like to move on. This is a show that celebrates anniversaries. If you listen to this show for any amount of time, you know that we celebrate anniversaries. Today's the 10-year anniversary. Today's the 17-year. What we normally celebrate anniversaries. Today is the anniversary of one of the greatest college basketball games of its time. Rob, you know what? I want you to play it for me. I don't want to play it. I want you to play it for me.
4 seconds, gives it up corner. Lee shot blocked. They have less than a second to go.
Heinrich gets it. Heinrich puts up the shot. It's too long, and Syracuse is your national champion.
Today's the anniversary of Syracuse winning the national championship over Kansas in a thrilling basketball game.
What a terrible day that was. Just awful. I loved that Kansas team so much. Heinrich and Collison and bum Jerry McNamara stole that team a title.
How old were you when that happened?
I was 12.
Did you cry?
I don't believe I cried, but I was
You were hurt?
I was hurt.
I know when you went to middle school that next day, it was a sad, somber day for you. It was quite the opposite for me. It was actually a very joyous occasion, a momentous occasion. I loved Carmelo Anthony. He was great. And Carmelo Anthony was going to beat KU in the national championship? Oh, my goodness. He'll always be a legend in my heart. Hakeem Warrick, Jerry McNamara, legends. I saw that this morning. I sent that as a message to Ron the Show Hughley with a good morning text. That's how I wanted him to start his day. He's like, why'd you send this to me? Because I'm trying to, we work in sports. Today's a sports anniversary. Don't want to talk about it on your show. I'm not doing my job if I don't share that information with you guys. Today's a very important anniversary.
Was it very important?
Yeah.
Because Jim Boeheim coached there 20 seasons after that and didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm. He did something that night.
Yeah. He put a hex so KU couldn't make a free throw. KU treated free throws that night the same way Duke treated field goals on Saturday. Don't need them.
Well, think about it. The next time you guys actually won the national championship, it came back around. Memphis then couldn't make any free throws. What goes around comes around. It worked out eventually for you guys. It always ends up working out. That's why I got to enjoy the times right now where KU's a little bit down. They'll be back up again. KU's like the stock market. They'll be back up again. So I got to enjoy it. I got to celebrate it while they're down. Because 2 years from now, they'll win the national championship, and you guys will look back at this time where the rest of us can make fun of you. Let us have this, okay? Let us enjoy this time right now. I enjoy it. You don't enjoy it?
I mean, we could spend the next 3 minutes of this segment talking about how Darren Peterson won McDonald's All-American Player of the Game. Now, that does mean he's the best high school player in the country. Tough break, AJ DeBansta. You stink. You're no Darren Peterson.
That's true.
We could talk about how you spent American currency to drive to Lawrence once to watch him play basketball.
I was doing that for work.
I didn't see that in your expense report the other day.
I was doing that for work because I'm trying to see. I'm not you. I don't take days off. You just take PTO days. I don't do that. I'm even working on the weekends because I'm trying to provide real information for the people that listen to this show. Real analysis is what I'm trying to provide.
I'm going to have Eric Bossy on this show every day with Darren Peterson stats.
That's what I'm trying
to
provide.
We're not going to talk about the Chipotle finals, but every other day we're going to have a Darren Peterson stat.
You know what? I'm all for that. Ron the Show Hughley, he actually was on Fesco earlier today. You know Houston. He does afternoons in Houston. Houston's in the national championship. Here he had a pretty interesting take on Houston and KU. Listen to this.
Yeah, he gets it hammered with the talent, and it's happened a couple of times, right? And it's never worked for him. Like, he got the, oh, man, let me get Wiggins, let me get Seldon, let me get Joel Embiid. And that didn't work. His kids are Thomas Robinson, Deron Collins, Christian Brown, the Morris twins. Like, those are – that's his group, right? And he's got to get back to that. That's what we watched with Houston. They went out there and beat the ultra talented Duke team that has three or four kids literally in the lottery. But they're what they do beat them, and that's what you got to do, man. You got to go get your kid.
I will agree. I know I have fun at KU's expense. No, it's in jest. It's in love. We're just having jokes here. I do agree with what Ron said, though. KU's got to get back to their sauce and their formula. And for the last 2 years, I think they've gotten away from it just a little bit. This is like a company that, all right, we got to get back to what we do well. Who are we? What do we do? That's what I think KU has to get back to. And when I look at Houston, there's a reason how Houston is here. Kelvin Sampson is looking for a certain kind of player. A certain kind of toughness, a certain kind of rebounding, a certain kind of thing. And we are not willing to compromise that. And I think that's worked. And even as college basketball has changed, I am looking for the same thing. We are the best defensive team in college basketball. And we're willing to sacrifice a little bit on offense to get you to that point. I think that Ron makes a lot of really good points about Kansas basketball and Houston basketball and how the Jayhawks can turn things around and get back to, I don't want to say their rightful place on top of the Big 12, but where they usually are, the best team in their conference, a one or a two seed with a chance to win the national championship, because it's kind of been a while since KU has been that kind of team, at least by their standards. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get you ready for 7 straight days that the Royals have against teams in their division. We'll also get you ready for the national championship game coming up later today. Keep it right here, so drive.